Thank you, Jesus. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Your presence, Lord, is heaven to me. It's just like heaven, Lord. Ah, but what a glorious time it'll be when we get there. We thank you for a taste of heaven today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Good morning. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that the light will shine in our hearts this morning. And let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak today, hopefully not too long, on rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Now, some of you might recognize that scripture. It's taken from the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So I want to talk about some of these elements that are in this verse. But let's talk about rejoicing in hope. Well, the two things there already. There's rejoicing and then there's hope. I want to talk about hope from the point of view of expectation. That's the point of view I want to bring up. The perspective of expectation. Now, we've been taught throughout the scriptures, we have seen that, you know, you really can't get anything from God without faith. We know that. But also expectation. You know, we see many stories in the Bible of expectation, where people were expecting from the Lord. In fact, we are told that even we ourselves, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, we should be looking forward to and expecting the coming of the Lord. You know, and these things are important. Now, it's when you're expecting something, it's hope. If you already have it, it's not hope. But if you are expecting, then it's hope. And there are some things, elements in this verse that tells us certain things that we need to do. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, "For we are saved by hope." Now, Christ is the hope of glory. But hope that is seen is not hope. You know, for what a man already sees, why does he yet hope for it? I mean, if you see something, it's no need for hope. I don't hope to be in this service today. I'm already here. So there's no need for me to hope about it. I am here already. You know, that's hope that's already seen. Now, but expectation for something that you are still looking forward to, maybe some promise, you know, maybe something you are believing God for, you know, that hope begins to walk certain things. So we want to consider that, you know, for a few minutes today. Now, let's read verse 25. It said, "But if we hope that we see not, for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." So you can see how rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation and in testing, while the word of the Lord is being tested that you're waiting for, you need to have patience for it. We see how hope and patience working together in this scripture. We're going to see how prayer also works together with that. I mean, all the elements of faith and believing and so forth, they are all working together. Let's take a look at Romans chapter, James chapter 1, sorry. I want to look at verses 2 to 4. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "Look, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Now, this is not the temptation of sin. This is trial, the trial of your faith. That's what he's talking about here. You know, because you will see that in the next verse. So it's not talking about you fall into sin and then you are rejoicing about that. No. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith. So that's what he's talking about. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now we see again how it puts together this trying, which is kind of like the tribulation, the testing of your faith. It puts together the patience, that is. But he said, look, let patience have her perfect work, you know, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, so patience is something that many of us lack, but it is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But we lack this patience, especially when we are going through, particularly if it is believing, if we are believing for something that the Lord already promised. And it's a good thing to be believing for what God already promised. I've often told people that, look, faith will see the promise afar off, but believing is what gets you there. But during the process of believing, before you get there, well, there may be all kinds of things that can happen in between. You know, so the hope for that which God has promised, well, you can call it faith. Hebrews 11, 1 talks about faith is the substance of things. Hello? Can you help me finish that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you see that faith, hope, all these things, they're working together. You know, the substance. So there is a substance to it. It's not, you know, abstract. Like people think, oh, these things are abstract, faith, hope, and so. No, there is a substance to it. And the very substance, the very life of, you know, hope is faith. So faith is what energizes, you know, is what activates that hope that you have. You may be hoping for something, but you need to also be expectantly waiting for it. You know, there was a story in the book of the John chapter 5. I love this story. I've told it many, many times because I love it. Every time I tell it, I get something new out of it. You know, these people in John chapter 5, a great number of impotent folk, they were hoping for something. But they were expecting something. They were expecting that something will happen. They had an idea about the time frame in which something usually happens. Some angel came down, stirred the pool at some point in time, and whosoever then first get into the pool was healed of whatever sickness he had. So there was an expectation of something to happen. There was a man among them also that had an expectation and kept coming. You know, he fell short many times, but he had the expectation. He also had hope. Now he had hope that, look, one day it's going to be my turn. If he didn't have hope, you know, some people say, well, hope is not strong enough. You got to move to faith. But, you know, they all work together. Because if you don't have hope, you know, I've seen where people say, look, don't give me hope. One woman said to a prophet, say, look, don't give me any false hope that I will have a child, you know, because the man gave her the word of the Lord. I said, look, by this time next year, you will have a child. I said, look, don't give me any false hope. Maybe she has been prayed for before. Maybe she had tried all kinds of things. So at this point, she said, look, I don't want you to give me any false hope. But look, if you put your hope and your faith, you anchor it in the word of God, it works correctly. And then there is patience that goes with that while you are waiting. Now, when we want God to do something for us and we're believing God for something, it may or may not be instantaneous. I mean, sometimes if you have tremendous faith and if it's in alignment with God's purpose and timing, you can have it just like that. You know, but whether you have it just like that or you don't have it just like that, you got to keep believing. Amen. Because the Bible says that be patient while you are waiting. During the trying of your faith, be patient for the thing. And then you continue steadfastly. That's what instant means. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up. Don't let up. Scripture says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence until he does the thing that you are believing God for. So, Jesus himself told the story that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Luke chapter 18, always pray. Don't faint. Keep on believing. Now, I want to give you this scripture here. Take this down for today. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18. Now, you're believing for something, and you should be. You know, and everybody that's in here ought to be believing for something. If you are here and you're not believing for anything, I mean, you have already arrived. There's nothing you are believing for, not even for the coming of the Lord. I mean, not even for anything. Then, you know, I don't know, you know. But when there is expectation, when there is hope and expectation, then there is something happening in that life. A life that's without hope, a life that's without expectation, is dead. I mean, what are you living for then? If there is no hope, there is no expectation. So let's look at this scripture. Take this with you today. Surely there is an end, and thine expectation or hope shall not be cut off. Amen. There's always an end. The thing cannot, you can't wait forever. There's an end to it. In fact, in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, the vision may be for a long time, but he said, look, at the end it shall speak. There's always an end. It cannot be forever. You know, Habakkuk 2, it tells you in verse 3, he said, it's for an appointed time, and at the end it will speak. There's an end to it, and the vision will open up. You say, wow. That's what it means, it will speak. You know, because you say, wow. The vision was already given, but at the end, there is an end to that thing, and it will speak, and it will not tarry. Even if it appears that it is tarrying, wait with patience for it. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 1, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, some of us, we don't know how to do that anymore. We want God to do the thing right now, and if he doesn't do it right now, to your tents, O Israel. I mean, people give up too quickly on the Lord, you know. But the scripture teaches us patience. It teaches us some things that we should be waiting for. I mean, doing while we're waiting for what it is that we are believing or hoping for. That expectation that you are trusting from the Lord will come to pass. It will not tarry long. But even when it appears to be tarrying, then wait for it. Let's talk about Romans chapter 5. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Verses 3-5. Romans 5. He said, look, we glory in our testings and trials. Every time you see this tribulation and test in this message today, think of it as testings and trials. We glory in our testings and our trials, because we know that these testings, this tribulation, they work patience. You can see that in this case, he's saying that, you know, when God looks like a delay, some things, and you're having some tests, you learn patience through the process. I mean, if you get everything the moment that you ask for it, then you're not learning patience. You know, so sometimes you learn patience. Jesus himself learned patience. I mean, before the world began, he knew he was the lamb that was to be slain for the world. It was already done before the world even began. And yet, he had to wait 30 years to even start doing anything in that direction. He came, and for 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, it took him 30 years waiting to spring into a 3.5-year ministry. Think about that. 30 years! I mean, there was even a time that his mother said, look, come on now. I mean, the mother knew some things. Come on now. And Jesus said, look, woman, it's not yet my time. And the woman said, well, whatever. Whatever I tell you, just do it. Because she knew some things. I mean, there were some things probably going on in the house. You know, but he had to wait from what Isaiah 9 and 6 says. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given or presented. Between being born and being presented, 30 years passed. And finally, one day, when Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, then he come out to be baptized, and then he was presented. Presented to all the people. This is my beloved son. That's the presentation. But it took him 30 years. I don't know what in the world he was doing for all those 30 years. Even sometimes his disciples, even after he came out of the 30 years and got into the ministry, and people began to understand or sometimes have an idea that this might be the Christ or something. They said, look, tell us already. I mean, do this thing already. Will you at this time restore, you know, these things? I mean, what is it? I mean, why do we? I mean, just do it already. But the Lord knew what he was doing. Amen. And sometimes we've got to wait. And while you are waiting, you have to trust God through the process. There's always a process for everything. But the guarantee is surely there is an end. Amen. And your expectation at the last time will not be cut off. Now, while you are waiting, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Don't just say, the Lord already promised, so I don't need to pray. Or, you know, whatever. Or you pray one day and you then get tired. Some people get confused as to, is it lack of faith if I prayed yesterday and I prayed again today? Well, Jesus clearly said it in Luke chapter 18. He told us in verse 1, he told these parables to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. You pray yesterday, pray again today. But you see, while you're praying, you mingle it with praise. You mingle it with thanksgiving. But you keep on praying. You know, don't say, I prayed already yesterday, so I'm not going to pray again today. No. Jesus is telling us the story here. He said, the woman, she went to the judge one day. The judge didn't answer, couldn't care. She went again the next day. The judge couldn't answer, couldn't care. She went again after that. The judge couldn't answer, couldn't care. She went again after that. And Jesus is telling us a story. He said, look, see what the unjust judge did. This is the way that you need to bug your Father in heaven. This is the way. You've got to keep on telling him. In fact, he told his disciples, ask that your joy may be full. At that time, they didn't know how to be asking him things. So he was telling them, look, he that told you have not asked me anything. But I want you to ask. And keep on asking until your joy is full. Look, God has the capacity to handle your asks. Anything that you can ask, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and 20, he can do it and do more than even you would think. If you can ask it, God can do it. If you can think it, he can even exceed it. So then ask. Ask away already. And I often say to people like, look, whatever you can ask and get from God is like taking a bucket to the ocean. You can bring a bucket and take your fill and go away. There's no dent in the ocean. You can, instead of bringing a bucket, you can bring a barrel, I mean, which is maybe 30 times the size of a bucket. Take your fill, the ocean is still the same. There is no dent. Well, you can even, instead of bringing a barrel, you can bring a tanker. You know, those water tankers and oil tankers or whatever. You can bring something like that. Take your fill, the ocean is still there. Praise the Lord. So you can never exhaust the Lord. So keep asking. Now, when you zero in on something though, you know, you must ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Because a man that wavereth, let him not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. You know, that's just, you know, the same James that we were reading talks about that. You know, ask in faith. But don't waver. If you waver, waver means, well, maybe the Lord will do it, and maybe he won't. Well, that's wavering. Go up, you go down. Now, with God, there's no wavering. God is not a wavering God. In fact, the Bible says, give it to all men without wavering. You know, there is no shadow of turning with him. He's not a yo-yo God. He's not a God of mood swings. Today, he feels good. He gives it to you. Tomorrow, he doesn't feel good. So he disses you. Our God is a constant God. Amen. And if you can believe, you can have whatsoever you can believe from the Lord. But you must exercise patience. You must patiently wait for the thing. And while you're waiting, you must pray. Now, here's a story about praying, which many of you know. For praying for the thing, and we talked about it before. Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain from what God promised. Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab, because I'll bring rain today. So he already heard it. But when it came time, when the time of the promise drew near, according to, you know, Acts, you know, chapter 7 and verse 17. When the time of the promise drew near, you know, for this sound of rain to come, what did Elijah do? He went and prayed. See, he didn't say, well, God already said there's coming rain. But he had to not only wait for it, he had to patiently and earnestly pray for it. James told us how he was praying earnestly. We're told how he put his knees between, his head between his knees and agonized in prayer and sent his servant to go check it out. And the man said, I see nothing. And he prayed some more and sent him to go check it out again. And the man came back and said, I still see nothing. You can read all of that, you know, in the chapters, you know, 1 Kings chapter 18. Powerful story that is there. And then, you know, and then finally, he kept sending, you know, kept sending the servant, and he kept praying some more, and kept sending him, and kept praying some more. And finally, after about 7 times, we are told that the servant saw something. And then he said, I see something arising out of the, I can see from way over there in the horizon, something, a cloud rising from the sea, like the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, well, that's it. You know, that's what we have been waiting for. So don't give up in prayer. That's the being instant in prayer. While you are waiting for the promise, keep on praying and keep on believing. Praise the Lord. And no matter what is happening, you know, you've got to keep on believing. Keep on believing. Now, your expectation, we're already told, will not be cut off. So while you are hoping and expecting, it's the same thing. Right now, we're told, according to Titus chapter 2, he started to tell us, he said, look, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live in this world right now. You know, we should live godly, righteously, soberly in this life. You know, and look for the next verse in verse 13. Powerful. Looking for that blessed hope. That blessed hope. Of all the hopes that we hope, I hope to go to this place tomorrow. I hope to do this thing. I hope to achieve something. I hope to get this thing. Of all the hopes that you may have, this one right here is called the blessed hope. This is the one right here. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Of all your hopes. But you see, our little hopes will be helping us to lead up to this big hope. If you can't believe God for the little things, how are you going to believe for this big thing? You know, Jeremiah 12 and 5 says, if you run against footmen and they weary you out, 12 and 5, Jeremiah 12 and 5. If they weary you out running against footmen, how will you run against horses? Now, that's Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. You know, how will you run against horses if you cannot run against footmen? If in the little hope, tomorrow, I hope to do this thing and so on. I'm trusting the Lord for this thing and all this. If in that little hope, you are weary, well, how are you going to believe for the great and blessed hope that we're waiting for? So, while you are waiting, wait with patience and trust the Lord. Now, let's read Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. This man who wrote Proverbs, he always had one sharp word or something to say about something. He always had something. Hope, he said. Defer. You know, make it hard to be sick. Now, when you are waiting and hoping for something and you don't see it for a long time, sometimes the heart or the mind or the soul might be sick, you know. But when the desire cometh, it's like a tree of life. You know, but you need, there is a process between the time that you believe first and when you actually, when the vision speaks, there's a time in between. What do you do in between? Well, at the end, it's going to be like a tree of life. But what do you do in between? You keep on believing. You keep on praying. And you don't give up. Praise the Lord. Let me give you some more scriptures quickly about hope. Psalms. You know, now, the psalmist, and I love to read the way he always trusted, hoped in the Lord, and encouraged himself. So let me give you some things about hope. Today's message is brief, but it's for you to keep hope alive. You hear people say that. Keep hope alive. And some people say, while there is life, there is what? Where there is life, there is what? There is hope. But I tell you what, that even there is hope of a tree, according to Job chapter 14, there is even hope for a tree that is dying. Not quite dead yet, but it's dying. It's rotting in the ground. It is dying. You know, it's cut off. It's drying. That it can still sprout again. And the tender branch can still bring forth something. There is hope even in that situation. Now, people say, well, as long as there is life, there is hope. But I'm telling you that even when it looks like there is no life, glory to God, there can still be hope. If you know how to do it, all it needs is a little scent of water. A scent of water. You don't even need a whole bit of water. You know, look at the next verse. You know, look at verses 8 and 9 of Job 14. All it needs is a little scent of water. Can you put up verse 8? And after that, put up verse 9. You know, even the root is dying in the ground. They put up verse 9. It says, yet through the scent of water, just smell. Smell what the Lord is cooking, basically. I was asking some people, you know, online. I said, can you smell what the Lord is cooking? You know, now, just the smell of water alone. Make this thing revive. You know, and there's hope. Look, as long as the Lord is in the situation, there's always hope. Amen. It's never over. Some people say it's not over after somebody sings. You know, but look, as long as the Lord is in that situation, it's not over yet. The devil may think it's over, but it's never over. In fact, the devil said to Moses, Moses, your God is a poor general. Look at you. I mean, there is no place for you to go. He led you out, and now your back is up against the Red Sea. I have you right where I want you. But God is in the situation. God always has something to pull out of his sleeve. People call it an ace. Well, God always has that ace. You can pull it out at any time. As long as God is in the situation, it's not over yet. And you need to keep believing. Praise God. And even when it looks, look, I tell you something. There was a woman in the book of John chapter 8 that was condemned to die. They caught her in the middle of adultery. They brought her to Christ and said, look, Moses said we should stone her. What say you? And of course, you know the end of the story. Jesus says to the woman, where are your accusers? And she said, well, there's nobody that accused me. He said, well, okay. Neither do I condemn you. Now, this woman was condemned to die. They've already condemned her. They just wanted to see what Jesus would say. But Jesus set her loose. Hallelujah. Go and sin no more, Jesus said to her. Now, I call that grace when you've been condemned. Hallelujah. Grace when you've been condemned. When it seems like there's no hope. This woman had no hope. Because they were surely going to kill her. But the grace of God pulled out something. Now, there was a man hanging on the tree. You know, on one side and the other on the one side. Jesus in the middle. And one said to Jesus, the other said to him, and so forth. Look, we are here because of what we did. This man, he had done nothing. But we deserve what we got. This man, not only, his own case was even worse. The case of the woman, she was condemned, but not yet, you know, sentenced to death. They were looking for Jesus to give the final sentencing. And Jesus set her free. But in the case of this man on the cross, which you, everybody calls the thief on the cross, he was not only already condemned, he was already sentenced to death, and he was already crucified. Can you say amen? That's true. He was actually already crucified. He was on the cross. He was bleeding out. He was going to die. It was just a matter of time that he was going to die. But I call it redemption. When it looks like things are almost gone. Almost too late. It's never too late with God. Amen. Hallelujah. It is never too late. In fact, if you believe it, Jesus can call your brother out of the grave after 4 days. Hallelujah. The woman said, look, when I asked you to come, you didn't come. Now he's dead. We've been crying for days. He's buried. He's stinking by now. And Jesus said, look, if you can only believe, he's in the grave, he's living, it makes no difference. If he's in the grave, I call him out. If he's living, he shall not die. Just, do you believe this thing? The woman said, well, I don't know. I know you come out of the grave in the resurrection. But Jesus said, I'm right here. I am the resurrection and the life. Right here, right now. I'm not talking about some distance. I'm talking about right here. Look, with God, he's in the grave. Look, there was a man. God called him out. He said, come, let me show you something. And he took him, you know, he took him. He took him to a valley of very dry bones. Those bones have been there for a long time. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 37. And he took him there. And he said, look, son of man, tell me, what do you see? He said, well, I see a bunch of dry bones. And they're very, very dry. I don't know how long they've been here. And the Lord said, well, okay. Can these bones live again? Well, that's the question. That's the question of the ages. I mean, if it was you that the Lord asked that question, took you to a valley of dry bones, and you're looking at the thing, dead, dry, skeleton, head gone, all these things, sinews, flesh, nothing, dead, dead bones. I've been there for years. We don't know how long. What would you say? What would your answer be? But the man was very smart. He said, look, Lord, you know all things, you know, so he's going to play smart. He's not sure, you know, whether these bones can live, you know, because, I mean, nobody ever heard of such a thing. But this man is going to play it safe. Can the bones live again? Well, I said, well, thou knowest, Lord. I mean, you know all things. You know, you tell me. You show me. And the Lord said, well, not only can these bones live again, these bones will live again by the word of your mouth. That's right. You will prophesy upon these bones. Praise the Lord. Now, if you can understand that and you can believe it, it doesn't matter what dry bones are in your life. You may be able to prophesy. And the man said, so, you know, the Lord instructed him what to do. And he said, prophesy unto these bones, upon the bones. You know, first of all, you prophesy upon the bones, and then you prophesy unto the winds. And he said, I did as I was told. And when he prophesied upon the bones, he said, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye dry bones. Come back to life. And then he just waited to see what will happen by that word. Now, the word of God will not fall to the ground without accomplishing its purpose. Amen. And there was a shaking and a rattling and a coming together and everything. And the man was scared. The man, oh my goodness, what is this? And he looked and everything coming together. These dry skeleton bones began to stand up. And they're coming up and they're standing up there. and then bones are coming. Some of the bones are even broken off. You know, the ligaments, you know, this one here, the fibula, the tibia, this, all these things, they've fallen apart. They begin to come together. And not one single bone went to the wrong bone. Amen. God began to pick up the pieces by the word of God and put it all together. And all he had to do was just speak what he was told to speak. And he began to see it. And then when the bones stood up, but there was no life yet. So he said, well, it's one more thing. Prophesy unto the winds. And let them bring life into these bones. And each time as he did the thing, something happened. And at the end, all these dead bones that have been there for only God knows how long, all of a sudden had life. Look, there is hope of a tree even though it cut down. There's even hope of dead bones. Some people say, well, when it's dead, it's over. With God, it's never over. Hallelujah. God can bring people back from their graves that have been there for thousands of years. And at one day, he will do it. Praise God. So, you know, how much more a situation that just went bad? Just 2 days ago. Just 3 days ago. Just 4 days ago. Just a month ago. The situation that just went bad for you, you need to rejoice. Rejoice in that situation because it's going to give you an opportunity to see the power of God. That's all it is. God is giving you an opportunity to rejoice. Can you rejoice in the hope and expectation of something that God is going to do, even though you don't see it just yet? Can you be patient during the testing and trying of that word that you believed? I've told people, believe the word of God when it is spoken. Know what God has said. A promise is not a promise unless you know that it was promised. Or what was promised. But once you know it, and you believe it. But when you are waiting for it, it's hard sometimes. But you must wait patiently. Amen. So let me give you these scriptures real quickly. Psalms 31 and verse 24. I'm going to read them quickly and then I'm going to pray over the people here. Psalm 31 verse 24. You know, it said, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. You know, the heart is made sick when hope is delayed. Hope that is delayed, we read that already in Proverbs, makes the heart sick. But the Lord said, be of good courage. Your heart will not be sick. It will strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. So when you are just hoping in hope, that might make your heart sick. But when you hope in the Lord and you hope in his word, he will strengthen your heart. Hallelujah. And you will not be sick. You will stand strong and you will wait for his salvation. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon all them that hope in his mercy. Hope is a powerful thing, folks. You know, you got to have hope. You know, there are many stories of hope, even in our contemporary times. It's, you know, really stories of slavery and all these things. You know, hope is a powerful thing, but it must be expectation in your heart. You know, and you must base it upon the word of God. Now, Psalm 39 and verse 7. Psalm 39 and verse 7. And now, Lord, what am I waiting for? What is my expectation? Where is my expectation? Where is my hope in the Lord? Well, my hope is in thee, the psalmist said. This is how he used to encourage himself. He said, look, my hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so as you are waiting, put your hope in the Lord. But continue to pray. And as you continue to pray, believe the Lord. Let's read Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my hope or expectation is from him. And you got to have expectation. If you have a real miracle from God, you got to be expecting a miracle. You know, expect a miracle every day. Expect the hand of God to bring goodness into your life every day. My expectation and my hope is from the Lord. Psalm 71 and verse 4. I'm going to make this a brief exhortation. I'm going to wrap it up here, but because I want to pray for you. Now, praise God. Praise God. Okay. Let me read this psalm. Psalm 71 verse 14, not verse 4. Psalm 71 verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Now, why should you hope continually? Well, Jesus said it. You know, don't give up. Don't give in. Keep on believing. If you knock the door today, he didn't answer, knock again tomorrow. Have the expectation that one of these days, he's going to answer that door. He's going to open that door. Praise the Lord. You knock again, you know. If you go to visit your friend's house, I've told this analogy many times. You see their car outside, and you walk up to the door, and you knock. They don't answer. You're not going to just walk away because you know that they are in there. I can see the car. I know they are in there. So you knock some more. And you knock some more because you really want to get in there. You know, you don't just knock one time and walk away. Well, the people, some people do that today. They are called delivery agents. They bring your package since COVID. They put it at your door. They ring the doorbell. They don't even wait. They just walk away. You know, but that's not you. Wait for the answer from within. Amen. When you knock, you wait right there. Say, I waited patiently for the Lord. I wait during the trial and the testing and the trial of your faith. There's a reason for it. The Lord is grooming something through the wait, through the difficulty, and through the pain. Might be grooming you for something. Praise the Lord. Got to walk that patience, walk in something. Patience will walk experience. Experience, you know, and so forth. You know, so, you know, let me read that again. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. I read some part of it, but I didn't finish it. So let's read again. Romans 5, 3 to 5. It says, you glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience hope. See, that hope is still connected, and hope maketh not ashamed when your hope is in the Lord. He said, look, they that wait for the Lord, you know, he said, look, my people shall never be ashamed. In the book of Joel, chapter 2 says this multiple times, verse 26, verse 27, saying it multiple times, my people shall never be ashamed. You know, you deal in hope, you deal in patience with the Lord, and you patiently wait. The eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord. The eyes of all wait upon thee. And you trust the Lord through the process. Some people say, life has dealt me a bad hand. Well, so what? You wait on the Lord, and you wait patiently for, say, our God shall come and he shall save us. The God of heaven and earth, he will never forget you. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet. We are going to pray. Just a short exhortation for us today. But the key words that I want to bring out, I spend more time on the hope, but there's also the rejoicing. I'm going to pray that the Lord will give you grace to rejoice while you are waiting. Hallelujah. You know, and to have peace in your heart. Peace that passes understanding. People say, why can you be rejoicing? Well, it's joy unspeakable. It's peace that passes understanding. It's full of the glory of God. People can't understand it. How can you be joyful? How can you be peaceful in all that you are going through? Well, because surely I know that there is an end. There is an end. You know, it cannot last forever. I may be in the night right now. This night cannot last forever. At some point in time, that day must break. So that's my hope. They that hope and watch for the morning, he said, they watch, they're hoping, they're waiting, watching for the morning. It's going to break. Let's lift our hands and pray. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, you know, leading up to the blessed hope, that's the greatest hope that we can have, is the coming of the Lord. But while we're getting there, There's all these little things we have to deal with every day. All these little hopes along the way. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Lord will strengthen your heart. He said, the Lord shall strengthen your heart. You know, ye that hope in the Lord. Your waiting for your hope is not going to make your heart sick. The Lord will strengthen you. And my people shall never be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. Your expectation will not be cut short. It will not be cut off. But you must wait for it. Even though it tarries, wait for it. While you are waiting, pray some more. While you are waiting, praise the Lord. Just like Jehoshaphat, he was praising the Lord while going into the battle. He hadn't got the victory yet, but he was praising the Lord. You may not have the victory yet, but praise the Lord. Continue in prayer. You mingle that prayer with praise and thanksgiving, and it shall be well with you. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want you to zero in on the thing that you are believing God for. Please do not say, Lord, bless me. I don't know about that kind of prayer. He has already blessed you. Bible says the Lord has already blessed us with all spiritual things. He blessed you with everything already. So, now, let's be specific in what we are believing God for. Don't come to your father and say, Father, give me something. Well, if you say that, he might give you a stone, because a stone is something. But if this child will say to the father, give me bread, then the father cannot give him a stone. So I want you to zero in on what you are believing God for. And in the next 2 minutes, I am going to pray the prayer of faith. I'm going to pray that Lord will give you the grace to be persistent in prayer. That's what instant in prayer means. I'm going to pray that the Lord will give you grace to be patient while you are waiting through the trying and testings. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will give you the ability to rejoice while you are expecting what the Lord is going to do for you. So let us pray. Father, Lord, I pray for your people as they are believing. The thing that is in her heart right now. The thing that is in his heart right now. The thing that is in their heart right now. That they are praying and believing you for. Grant them the grace. Hallelujah. To continue steadfast in prayer. And not to faint. Grant them also, Lord, the grace to wait patiently while they are being tested and being tried for that thing. Grant them also, Lord, the ability to rejoice in the hope of the expectation that is coming. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our exhortation for today.